إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. بعد my dear brothers and sisters, بإذن الله تعالى we have started this series on critical changes that are required for the Muslim Ummah to make, and today the first of the series has gone out. I have done two on that, so today the first one went out, tomorrow the second one will go out. Both of those I did in South Africa. This one, Alhamdulillah, Bismillah Ta'ala, yesterday I got back home, so this is from here. The first thing that we said, first of the critical changes that are required for the Muslim Ummah to make is the main issue of the critical change is the ability to look at ourselves critically. So that was the first one that I mentioned, the ability to look at ourselves critically. This is the first and foremost change that is required to be done. So today we talk about the second one of them, which is the ability to accept the fact that we need this critical change. So one is to accept, to look at ourselves critically, and the second one is, having looked at ourselves critically, the ability to accept the need for radical change. Now I have deliberately separated these two, even though on the face of it looks to be the same, the ability to look at and say we need these changes, but I am separating the two, ability to look at ourselves critically and the ability to accept the need for critical change. Because to me, the accepting the need for change equates to starting that change. So for example, you might look at yourself critically and say that I accept that I need to lose weight. So there is no pushback in that, there is no dispute in that, you are not arguing that round is also a shape and what is wrong with curves and things like this. You know, yes, this is not, all these arguments and jokes aside, I need to lose weight because a lot, if not all, I won't say all, but most of the diseases or ailments, not diseases, but most of the ailments of older age are related to lifestyle choices. In one quote we say, we dig our graves with our teeth. Most of the problems of old age happen because of simply overindulgence in food. So we drink and eat stuff which we don't need, high carbs, high sugars, all of which poisons the system. Now we all know this. I don't think anybody today will actually argue about that. But how much are we actually doing to reduce our intake, to eat the right things, to eat healthy food, not junk food, to take the kind of enough exercise to ensure that the body and system functions, sleep at the right time and so on. All of this, there is no rocket science to this. All of this is well known, but we find that most of us, and may Allah save everyone from it, this reminder is equally for myself, we don't do this. And that's the reason I have separated the two, ability to look at ourselves critically and ability to accept that we are in need of critical change. Now, what is the definition of critical change? How is critical change different from any other kind of change? Critical change is change that is required because it is so critical that unless we make this change, we will actually suffer the consequences. We will suffer pain, we will suffer loss, and so on and so forth. That's the reason why we separate the two. So there are some changes which are nice to have. For example, you might say, well, you know, why don't you change your hairstyle? Or why don't you change the style of your beard? Or why don't you wear different kinds of clothes and so on? Alhamdulillah, it's good if somebody is giving you good advice. Nothing wrong in looking nice. But it's not a critical change. I mean, if you don't do that, you won't die, or you know, you won't go to Jahannam or something. I mean, it's okay. I mean, if you do it, Alhamdulillah. If you don't do it also, it's all right. Not anything big. But there are other things which are critical, meaning that if you don't do this, it will harm you. It's as simple as, for example, if somebody is driving is bad. Now that is not a change by choice. If you are a dangerous driver, if you are a bad driver, and somebody says, look, don't do this, this is a critical change is required here. Because if you don't do that, then the chances are that one day you will crash and you will kill somebody or you kill yourself. So there is a difference between changing your lifestyle and changing your hairstyle and changing your driving style. Big difference. Both are changes, but one won't kill you and the other one will kill you and others. Now the nature of changes that we as the Muslim Ummah face, and as I said in this beginning of this series, when we say Muslim Ummah, please don't sit outside the circle and point at other people. Muslim Ummah starts with you. My Muslim Ummah starts with me. Your Muslim Ummah starts with you. For each one of us, whatever we are saying, number one first must be applied on ourselves, because for two reasons. Firstly, because that is the only one on which you can actually apply it. The other people, you can only try to influence them, try to persuade them, but you can't force anybody. But yourself, you can even force if necessary. So we have to look at the Ummah as in that context. And secondly, we know the hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that each person represents the whole Ummah and the Ummah represents the person. If one person feels the pain, the whole Ummah feels the pain, and vice versa. So therefore, we are one of the elements of the Ummah, a very critical element. Each one is equally critical. So therefore, change must begin with ourselves. So critical ability, the ability to accept the need for critical change. Now, accepting the need for critical change, as I said, equates to actually doing things to bring about this change. So what do we need to do that? I believe there are two very important things that we need to do to bring about the change. First and foremost, as I said, is this mentally mindset change, that yes, I need change and I am willing to do something about it. Second one is to create a plan and say, what is it that I need to change? So we say we need to have change. But what is this change? Because unless there is clarity about what needs to be changed, and that clarity must be about what needs to be changed, and given that the number of things that need to be changed are more than one, there has to be clarity also about the priority of that, which must be done first and which must be done next. For example, two things I will tell you with respect to the Ummah. One need for change of this Ummah is with respect to the aqaid of this Ummah. We have different beliefs and we have different ways of expressing that belief and so on. So I must say unity means that we all unite together on La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, on Tawheed and on the absence of shirk and bid'ah. So this is a critical need. Simultaneously, there is a critical need for us to agree without being disagreeable, for us to be able to look at diverse views and opinions without getting offended, for us to look at each other with respect and not insist that the other person must think and walk and talk and act exactly like me in order to be approved by me. So get off this arrogant lifestyle by saying that other people's success and failure, that other people's being good or bad depends on your approval. The other person is good if I think he is good. This is absolute arrogance. We need to take this out. Now if I give you these two things, say here are two changes that need to be made. One is this arrogance about yourself, to say that everyone must conform to you. And the second one is that we have differences of belief and differences of the way we believe. Here are two. Now, how do you prioritize? Which one must come first? On the face of it, many people might say, well, you know, all the beliefs must become one. This is first. But I will tell you that will never happen unless the second one happens. So the second one is not second. Second one is actually first, which is that get out of arrogance. Get out of this arrogance, get out of this feeling of superiority, get out of this intellectual rubbish that our heads are filled with, that my opinion is the only opinion which counts. We have this completely idiotic situation in our community, and I can say this exclusive to our community. I've never encountered this in all my travels around the world and working with people from multiple nationalities and religions and so on. There is no one in the world who actually says to you, how can you say that? How can you think that? Except Muslims. Nobody else.
I mean, you can tell, I mean, I do, this is my part of my work in leadership development training, that I say things which are provocative, I say things which are contrary to the usual line of thinking, only to get people to think differently, right? So that is part of the work. Nobody says, how can you think that? People actually thank you. They said, you know, this is fantastic. I mean, I never thought of it like that. I was speaking to the principal of the Jacob's Academy, which is the top Jewish school in London. And the principal himself was an Anglican priest. And he said to me, in the conversation, I have got witnesses for this, some of whom are listening to this, who will listen to this Fajr reminder. He said, you and I, you meaning me as in me as well as me as in Muslims, and I meaning Christians and Jews, he said, we have a common problem with teaching Darwin's theory. We have a common problem in teaching Darwin's theory. So I said to him, with due respect, we have no problem in teaching Darwin's theory. So he said, how do you say that? He didn't get offended. He didn't say, how can you say that? He didn't say, you know, how dare you say that? No. He said, please explain. I mean, you're making a statement which is completely different from whatever I have thought of. So please explain. Now, this is the meaning of acceptance, of lack of arrogance, of acceptance of another person, that person also has a right as a human being to believe what they want and to say what they want. So I explained to him, I said, there is no problem with teaching a theory as a theory. I said, we have a problem with teaching the theory as dogma, as religious belief, as a creed. We have a problem with that. But teaching a theory as a theory, what's the problem? There's no problem. Any theory can be taught. And that man, who is himself a Christian Anglican priest and is principal of a very, very prestigious school, he tells me, you know, I never thought of it like that. He said, thank you for saying this. We never thought of it like this. We need to think of it like this. And this is how we need to present it. That is what I mean by humility, which we don't have. Collectively, I'm not saying everybody, but I'm saying collectively, we do not have this humility. We have arrogance. We have people who will say, how can you say this? What do you mean, how can I say that? I mean, I didn't sell my soul to you. Can you give me a receipt? Am I your slave? What do you mean, how can I say that? So therefore, between these two, which is arrogance about ourselves, we have the best. How many times have I heard this statement? I find it absolutely hypocritical and disgusting. People see making the statement that everything in this world which is good came from Islam and Muslims. All scientific development came from Islam and Muslims. First of all, it is factually incorrect. All scientific development did not come from the Muslims. Right? There were many other people. I mean, don't believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave brain only to a Muslim and didn't give it to anybody else. There are many other people who are responsible for and who have done phenomenal work in science and technology and all kinds of things. And we Muslims are the beneficiaries of it. But we do not have the gratitude to understand and accept this. Absolutely shameful. So first of all, many people are also inventors of great things. And secondly, the other reality of it, and this is where we have to be very critical with ourselves. The reality of it is that even though some of these things, not all of them, some of these things were invented by Muslims during the Renaissance period or before the Renaissance of Europe. So we are now talking about, 15th century or 16th century. Even though many of these things were invented by Muslims, Muslims left them. You can give me any number of reasons, but Muslims left those things. And it was the Europeans, it was the non-Muslims who took those inventions, along with other inventions which came from other cultures, and developed them to the point where today the whole world benefits from those inventions. You can say Ibn Firnas invented flight, but are you flying in Ibn Firnas's aircraft or are you flying in a Boeing or an Airbus? So, these are some harsh realities of ourselves. We are talkers. We don't want to act. So the need to accept that we need to change, and critical change, radical change, which begins with ourselves. Our own arrogance must go. We must get some humility in ourselves. And then working from this humility, we need to embrace change. Inshallah, bismillah ta'ala, we will continue with this. For today, this is enough. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.